This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS this morning. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is with us. If you have any questions dealing with law and order, give us a call. Those phone lines are open right now, but we do ask you to make sure that those law and order questions deal with the city of Murfreesboro. Needs to be in the Murfreesboro city limits. Glenn, good morning to you.
Bart, good morning. Always a pleasure to be here.
Crisp, good to have you here.
Crisp fall morning. And
Isn't it great?
Fall is here. Fall break is going on. The schools are all out. And families are traveling. We were just talking about people on vacation. Hopefully, they're having a great week to be out of school.
And I wondered where everybody was.
Spend some family time. They're all at the beach or in the mountains or somewhere. And we're still here carrying on business.
That's right.
I'm glad for that and glad they can be off.
We're glad you're here this morning, and so are a lot of other people who have questions. And let's take our first one. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Police Chief Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning? Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, you?
Doing fine, thank you.
I have a 2010 John Deere residential mower.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure that's something that Glenn Chrisman can help you with.
sounds like it might be a deal for somebody, though.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're taking Swap and Shop is over, and we're talking about the Murfreesboro Police this morning. Let's go to this line. You're on WGNS with Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning?
All right, Bart. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thank you.
I just got a question for Mr. Chrisman now on the policy of driving with your expired tags,
mm-hmm.
and the officer pull you over, and you showing that you have the you've been to a mission through.
We lost you, I think. You've been through emissions. You still there? Hello? Are you back? Okay, I'm guessing he's going to say he showed that he went through emissions,
right,
but hadn't paid for the tags yet.
Right, and what the statute says is that the registration has to be properly displayed, which means that you should have your registration decal in place on your license plate and your wheel tax sticker, and I can relate to that because I just scraped mine off a week or so ago and put mine on for October because mine were due. You also obviously have to have your emission certificate so that you'll be able to get that registration renewal. And from several years ago when the legislature changed some of the law about proof of insurance, and that's been in place for a while now, if you're stopped by the police, you should be able to produce the certificate of registration that you got from the clerk's office when you renewed your tags. You also should have proof of insurance in there, which could be a card, it could be a little piece of paper that your insurance agent sends, mails to you. It could be a little cutout that they give you that just shows that you have insurance that's in effect at the time of the stop. Now, I think where the caller was probably going is, if you've been through emissions and if you've perhaps even gotten the registration but don't have it on the car yet, can the officer take that into consideration and perhaps issue a warning, release you? I mean, the answer is yes. There's a whole range of things that the officer can do. The spirit of the law is that you're supposed to have it displayed, supposed to be on your vehicle, and you're supposed to have that proof of insurance and registration with you at all times.
And a word to the wise, the lines are a whole lot shorter at the first of the month than at the end of the month.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Find that out the hard way sometimes.
Absolutely. Particularly at the emissions place.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Glenn Chrisman. How are you today?
I'm good. And how are y'all?
Doing
good.
Fine.
Good
Thank
morning.
You.
Good morning. I have a quick question.
Okay.
For an assault charge, if someone assaulted you and you called the police and everything, they told you to go take the warrant, how long do you have to take a warrant?
Generally speaking, on misdemeanors, usually they say 11 months and 29 days, and that I don't know that that's a hard and fast rule, but you don't have to do that immediately, although if you intend to seek a warrant and prosecute an offender, generally the sooner the better. I think that indicates a willingness to move forward with a prosecution, and in that case, the sooner you do it, the better the recollections are, the better your memory is, the stronger and more viable your testimony is going to be, as opposed to waiting 6 months or 8 months and, you know, things have happened since then and maybe the information is not as fresh. So the sooner the better, generally speaking, but there's nothing that says you've got to do it immediately.
Appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for calling. And that leaves one line open for you. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on the air with Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crisman.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question on your license plate.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I got my plate and one of those little stickers that show the year and now when it expires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if one of the stickers come off, you know, having to come off, or somebody would, you know, get it off, or would they pull you over? I mean, could you get it replaced, you know, where you got the tag that for another, you know, little sticker?
Yes, sir. The answer to both questions is yes. They could pull you over if you don't have both stickers displayed, and one obviously is the registration renewal, and the other one is the wheel tax sticker. If for some reason you lose one, somebody pulls one off, you know, there's some damage to the license plate and one of them gets damaged, take the registration paperwork where you got your registration renewed at the clerk's office, take it back up there. That will provide proof that you did renew it and you've already paid that fee. And they should replace that sticker for you at a nominal cost. I don't think they're going to give it to you because obviously it costs them something to get that sticker made, the replacement one, but I'd think that would be at a reduced cost and they'd take care of getting that replaced for you.
Man, it seems like I'm shooting blanks then. For the last couple of years, I've been getting stickers and it don't seem like it have enough stick stuff on it or something because they get loose and some feel I use that to put super glue on it to hold them on.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I did this last time, you know, particularly if you've got a plate you've had for 4 or 5 years and those stickers keep building up on there, this year I took a putty knife and scraped all those old ones off and then tried to clean the license plate a little bit where it would stick to it pretty good, and that seemed to work a little better. You might want to try that. And then, as I say, take your registration and hopefully they'll provide you a new sticker at very minimal cost, if any.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you. Have a great day. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Glenn Crisman. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. If you file a criminal complaint, mm-hmm. I guess, or if you just file a police report.
Yes, ma'am.
And it is turned over to a detective to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you usually have to wait to hear anything at all from the detective?
Well, it depends. One of the things that detectives are doing, or the criminal investigation staff does, when the reports come in, and for instance, on a Monday morning after the weekend, they could have as many as several hundred reports that were filed from Friday all the way through Monday morning. One of the things that they're going to be doing when they get those reports is looking at them to see if they have solvability factors that would warrant they're being assigned to a detective for follow-up. If they're assigned for follow-up, you should hear something from a detective perhaps within a day or two of when you file the report. If you file one on Friday afternoon, detectives probably aren't going to see it until Monday. So Monday afternoon, Tuesday, you'd probably get a call. Let's say you file a report on a Wednesday. It goes into records Wednesday, early Thursday. You could get a call from a detective Thursday, or I would think no later than Friday. But now let's go back to assignments and solvability. Let's say the report is somebody keyed your car, or somebody, we'll go back to the previous caller, somebody stole the wheel tax sticker off of your car. No witnesses, no physical evidence, very little to work with there in terms of solvability. So it's likely, or it's not likely, that that case could get assigned to a detective, because there's really not a whole lot for a detective to do in those cases.
This has already been assigned to a detective.
Okay, all right.
And we've already met with him.
Okay.
And the thing about it is I never hear from him, and then every time I call him, he tells me the same thing, you know, well, I've got to do this one particular thing, you know, and he's told that. He's been telling me that from day one.
Okay, let me get you to do something. Have you got a pencil you can write, or a pen you can write?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
849-2673. That's my office number. Is this a
What's the last part?
Is this a Murfreesboro police case, by the way?
Yes, it's a police case, and it's someone that must be getting off the street.
Okay. All right. 849-2673. That's my office.
2673?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's my office number. And if you will call that number and leave me a message with the information in there about detective and a little bit about the case and whatnot, I'll follow up on that this morning. We'll see if we can get him back to you today.
Well, he's on vacation this week, but, I mean, it's been several weeks that he's not been on vacation. And that's, you know, it's like I said, there's someone on the street that needs to be gotten off the street, and it just needs to be taken care of.
If you'll give me that information in that voice message, I'll take care of it today, or make sure that he takes care of it as soon as he gets back.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Sounds like she had good protection there.
It does, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and dogs are great to have around the house. I understand that keeps away burglars and everything, too.
Does, and it's like a lot of these other crime prevention tips we talk about, and that's a good one.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crispin.
Good morning, Bart, and good morning, Chief Crispin.
Good morning.
This is a question about police reporting. When they make an accident report,
mm-hmm.
They're required to put down the insurance card numbers or names of the insured company that this person would have on their police report.
I don't think that the law requires us to record that information. That's gone back and forth over the past half dozen or 10 years. For a long, long time, we recorded it as a courtesy to the driver, so they would have that information as a part of the police report. I do not think it's required, but I think when we can retrieve it, we try to do that.
I understand. I can say an incident with my family member here last Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They were on their way for vacation when this person had an unsecured load of gravel or whatever, and he hit the curb or whatever in that area of Warrior Drive, and the gravel came over into their vehicle, and also on the female driving a car. They had an SUV, and the car behind them was also struck.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy never stopped. And finally, they turned around and pursued the person where he was going to deliver the gravel. And of course, the lady didn't see that, or they had turned in, and she went by. So they're concerned about her suffering damage that's going to be her expense to get repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm just concerned that, you know, why would they not have had the insurance company there on their report that would help them, rather than having to more or less say, well, I guess I just have to go and pay my deductible because there's nothing here. They just give up because they're so exhausted, or they delayed them 2 hours or more on getting onto their vacation.
In this particular case, they did not get the insurance information?
No, they did not.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right.
The guy was very emphatic that he didn't cause nothing. And so the police officer asked me to go back and show him where it was. And then he said, well, the dust on the windshield and everything proved that this is fresh. This is not overnight or anything, you know. And the gravel on the road there showed the evidence that was there.
Right. Was there a police report filed?
Yes, there was.
I see. Okay.
And of course, they went on their vacation and just come back and was able to get it here the other day. And she said she couldn't believe it, that there was no evidence of this man's insurance.
When we go to the next break, while Bart's doing a commercial segment, I'll double check that and then respond back on the air before the program goes off if it's anything different. And then if there are problems with the report or something else that we can do to be of assistance to those folks, please feel free to have them call the police department or call me. I'd be glad to try to help. 849-2673.
Okay, I understand. Like I say, the main thing is, you know, they're a young family and with four children, and things are not easy, you know, mm-hmm. trying to make ends meet and then have to pay your own deductible in order to get your vehicle repaired.
Right.
And windshields don't come cheap either.
No, they don't.
But anyhow, I appreciate your time. Let somebody else get a call in here. Thank you again for your kindness so much.
Thank you for calling, man.
Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yes, I was wondering, it's a problem. I'll just tell you, I'm a city school bus driver. And right there at Northfield and Memorial, I don't want to say anything against Rover, but they stop on the opposite side there at the light. You know, you've got the campus there. And I'm coming through there at about 2:15 going to Ermasigal School. And they will stop right in front of Taco Bell and then right in front of McDonald's. That puts people really right in the middle of the intersection just about the time that camera's getting ready to go off. I stay back because I'm afraid to go forward. And people will get angry with me for not going on, but I can't say getting in the middle of the block. Is there anything that maybe we could do or say to Rover, say, either stop in the middle of the block or come back and stop over there where that service station is closed down, so that you won't be able to, it's going to create a wreck is what it's going to do.
I'll be glad to follow up on that with Dana Richardson, our transportation director. If I understand you correctly, I'm northbound on Memorial at Memorial in Northfield, and Rover is stopping for pickup or discharge in front of Taco Bell and McDonald's, and that's backing traffic up into the middle of the intersection at Memorial and Northfield.
Somebody's going to get hurt, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I've seen them go through, and I've seen, of course, like I say, they get angry with me because I don't go through.
Right.
But I'm not going to do that because that's going to catch me right in the middle of the intersection.
I'll forward that concern to Director Richardson today and see if they can't follow up on it. And just for reference in the future, if that problem persists or if you see something like that in other places, you can always call our transportation department or Director Richardson, Dana Richardson, at 893-6441.
Okay.
A nice man and very attentive to problems with transportation all across our city.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.
You
thanks for what you
day.
Do.
Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and take some more calls. If you're on the line, hold on, because you are coming up next.
He used to promise soon things would change. It's been years and it's still the same, and that hurts. He ought to know that by now.
Your ABC News radio station. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com. Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Chuck Clemens. I'm very excited about all the new growth here at Ford of Murfreesboro. I'm glad all my friends are still here. I've been here for 19 years.
Same employees, same great service. Ford of Murfreesboro.
A lot of us have been working in Murfreesboro a long time, and we hope to continue seeing our valuable customers.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Lay it against sports!
25% to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Played Against Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25% to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Guys, be aware along your secondaries in the Murfreesboro area, we have an injury accident along Northwest Broad Street, very close to 840. Crews are on the scene in that area, so you are going to see slower traffic. Once you make it onto your interstate, you will see a little slower traffic around Old Fort Parkway and Manson Pike. But once you get past 840, you shouldn't see any problems until you start to get into the downtown area. Traffic is building around Murfreesboro Pike, so expect a slowdown. Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant has a brand new menu, voted the best Mexican restaurant since 1990. Stop in for lunch or dinner, or see them online at Las Palmas. MXRest.com. With the WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Let's take a look at that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Mild with lots of sunshine for your day today. Highs will warm into the lower 80s. Winds become northeast around 5 miles an hour. And tonight's skies remain clear. Lows fall to near 53. I'm WGNS meteorologist Phil Jensko. It's currently 52.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Gene Gordon Liddy is on the Good Neighbor Network.
It is I, the G-Man, on the Big G, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
G. Gordon Liddy, weekday mornings at 9.
Sarah and Beth is scared to death.
Welcome to back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is with us this morning. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the air with Chief Chrisman.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning. I want to know when y'all going to solve some of these unsolved homicides in this city. This city runs rampant with crime. Don't ask for citizen participation. We scared to come outside. How are we going to tell y'all how to do y'all job?
Well, I think, let me answer the first question first. I think any unsolved homicides or open homicide cases are just that. They're open. They continue to be worked based on leads, evidence, anything, information that comes forward to us to further those investigations. And I think certainly family members and other people who are familiar with those cases that have information are always encouraged to stay in touch with not only the police but the investigators that are assigned to those cases to move those along. As far as crime being rampant, appreciate that opinion and certainly respect that opinion. I think our city is a safe city. I think it's not crime-free. Certainly no cities are. But I think for the size city we are with the population and the movement of people that we have through our cities, it's a very safe city. And certainly our police are working hard every day to protect our city and keep it a safe place to live and raise kids and attend school. And that not only extends just to Murfreesboro, but that's Rutherford County and our other municipalities as well. So people have information on those unsolved homicides. Certainly we'd like to hear it. Would encourage people to bring information forward if they want to remain anonymous. Crime Stoppers is there and can receive information anonymously on those open cases. And there is a cold case unit that operates out of the sheriff's department, that but that also is in collaboration with other law enforcement agencies in the county. And if there is information that is useful in those prosecutions, we'd encourage people to bring forward.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I guess the key word would be witness. If I see someone getting assaulted and I step in to make sure that the assault is stopped, and then I call the police, and the police tell me, but you don't have a witness. How is someone supposed to do their, I guess you would say, nominal duty to protect someone, and at the same time, this person that is doing the assaulting says, "Well, I'll sue you if you step in." And at that same time, I'm trying to protect someone, mm-hmm. and the police tell me, "Well, you don't have a witness." How is a person supposed to do their duty to society, and at the same time, how? Well, I don't even know exactly how to put it, but they said, "You do not have a witness." Now, even though I'm a member of the witness party, how am I supposed to? What should a person do? I mean, if you call the police and the police arrive, but you don't have a witness, you can't prove anything, what am I supposed to do?
Well,
I'll get off the phone, and then I will listen for the response. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling us. Well, you should have a witness there, because if you have intervened on behalf of a victim who is being assaulted by a suspect, the witness should be the victim. So the victim is there. You've intervened to try to keep that person from being assaulted or beat up or whatever the case might be. So the victim is there and you're there. That's two people that can provide information to the police that should corroborate one another's story. So the victim should be your witness. If in the middle of that, let's change the scenario just a little bit. Let's say that you see somebody being assaulted. You get in the middle of it to stop the assault, and the victim and the suspect both run off, and now you're left standing. The police get a call that there's a fight at the corner of Main and Broad, and when they get there, they don't find anybody but you, if that's a scenario that you're suggesting here, and you don't have a witness. Well, I think, you know, that gets back to, I guess, the goodness of being somebody that's trying to help in the first place, or be a good witness in the first place. And if you're there for the right reason and you're doing the right thing, then you just need to tell the police that story and say, "Hey, here's what happened. You know, I saw these two guys. One was beating the other one up. I tried to stop that or intervene to try to save that person from being assaulted. I don't know if it was a drug deal gone bad or what, but, you know, when I got in the middle, they both jumped up and ran off, and here I stand." And I think that story is what it is, if that's what happened. And the police are probably going to record that story as an assault or a miscellaneous report, and they're going to take information from you about that. Now, if somebody were to turn that around and say, "Well, I'm going to sue you because you assaulted me in the process of trying to keep me from assaulting this third party," you know, there's an old saying, anybody can sue you for anything, but they've still got to prove that case. And certainly nobody wants to go through any kind of a lawsuit or any kind of a criminal prosecution that's not based on fact and merit. But I have to go back to the basics of what we're talking about. If you're trying to do the right thing for the right reason and your motives are good, it's hard for me to believe that in most cases a jury or a judge or even a magistrate that might be considering issuing a warrant is not going to take that into account, and that's not going to carry the day at the end of all of that. You can be charged with anything, you can be sued with anything, but the evidence and the facts have still got to be there to prove that case.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. Glenn, did you have a chance to check on that question from the earlier caller?
I did, and talked to a couple of commanders. There is a spot, or spaces, if you will, on the revised Tennessee crash report for the inclusion of the insurance company name. And as a general rule, we try to always include that information in there for the benefit of the parties that are involved. It's not required by law to be included, but the space is provided and we try to gather it whenever we can.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Police Chief Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
I got a question
Okay.
Like my car went past through emissions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And the emissions people told me to keep the paper. And if I get pulled over for bad tags, that I wouldn't get a ticket for the paper, but I still got a ticket. Is there some miscommunications in there somewhere between y'all two, or how does that work?
Well, so you're past the time when you were supposed to have renewed your registration, but you haven't been able to get it renewed because it didn't pass emissions?
Yeah, yeah. But then they said keep the paper, and if I get stopped, then show the police officer, and I shouldn't get a ticket because I'm trying to get through admission.
Right. Well, the fact that you've attempted to get it tested and it failed the test shows that you were trying to get it done. Now, are you saying that the police, you did that and the police issued you a ticket anyway?
Yeah, gave me a court date for January the 5th.
All right. What you need to do is you need to get it fixed if you can. Get it tested.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it fixed.
Get it tested and get your registration renewed. Then take that information with you when you go to court in January.
Uh-huh.
And the judge will take that into consideration, and hopefully he'll consider that. I can't say what the judge will or won't do, but I'm sure he'll take that into consideration. Now, back to the first question. Could the police officer have said, okay, I'm going to give you a break this time, I'm going to write you a warning, or I'm going to let you go? Yes, sir, he could have done that. The other side of it is, if it was an October registration renewal and you didn't have it renewed, technically that's a violation, and you can be cited for that, and that's what he did.
Look, I done been through admissions at least 7 or 8 times. Trying to get it through, and I'm basically broke trying to get it through admission.
Yes, sir.
But I still got to work, still got to get the kids to school and stuff like it.
Yes, sir.
And I got a bunch of the papers why I've been through there and showed them, but you know,
well,
it's kind of like we stuck. We got to work and still go through admissions and still follow the law without breaking the law, but you kind of just stuck in a spot.
The only thing I can say to you is, if you have to drive the car, I have to advise you not to drive the car if it's not properly registered.
Yeah.
But if you make the decision that you've got to drive it and you don't have any other alternative, then if you get stopped again, because you could get stopped again and get another ticket today.
Yeah.
Make sure you got that paperwork and just, tell the police officer, hey, I'm trying to get it fixed. I'm out of money. Can you give me a warning? I've already been cited once. I'm doing my best, and hopefully the police officer take that into consideration.
Okay, are y'all doing anything to try to revise that whole law thing for the admissions thing? I mean, that's kind of, not only are we paying a lot for tags, but going through admissions over and over and over and over and over.
And
then you still got to pay bills.
You do, and I just had to pay it twice myself, so I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know of anything that's being done to address it, and it's that's not a Murfreesboro or Rutherford County issue so much as it is a regional issue, and that's based on, as I understand it anyway, and I'll claim my ignorance here, it's based on the fact that we are a part of an urban area, that that generates you know, a larger amount of air pollution and stuff from vehicles, and that's why certain counties have emission testings and others don't, and we're included in that urban area where the emission testing is required.
Do you mind telling us? Do you mind?
All right, thank you, and answer my questions. But if you can, just, you know, next meeting when y'all have with the city council or whatever, just bring the subject up and help us.
Let me ask you a question.
Taxpayers out.
Yeah, let me ask you a question before you hang up.
Yes, sir.
Do you mind telling us when your tag expired?
I've been trying to go through since July.
Okay, so it has a July expiration?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I've been going back time and time, time and time and time and time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so good, my check engine light is not on.
Good luck to you.
It's just saying two sensors won't reset itself, but my check engine light is not on.
All right. Good luck to you. Hope you're able to solve that problem.
Yeah. All right.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye. Yes, sir.
893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking Law and Order. 893-1450. And let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good. How are you the guys this morning?
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that emission, too. I think you guys need to get that changed somehow or another, because just because the check engine light's on doesn't mean the car is polluting. I've got a car that there's a sensor bad in the transmission, but the car runs, drives out fine, and it won't pass emission because the check engine light's on and they plug it up. They don't even check to see about the pollutants. They just, if the check engine light's on, it fails. And so, you know, to get a transmission repair, that's, you know, anywhere from $800 to $1,000. So I just went out county and got tags in another county.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they would just check the emission, it would work better. So just want to let y'all know.
I appreciate your comment. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just trying to think who would be the appropriate authority to forward that information to. I'll give that some thought, but my thought would be that Environment and Conservation might be the THEC or one of those groups might be the one that would be the appropriate authority to refer a complaint like that to. But I appreciate the caller, and it may be that somebody's listening that can provide some reference for that.
I can see his concern, too.
Sure.
I mean, because obviously the emissions test is to reduce emission problems. If the light is just on and there are no emission problems, looks like it should pass.
You'd think there'd be a mechanism or a bypass or something that could be in place for that. But again, I have to profess my ignorance.
893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on the air with Glenn Chrisman. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. Doing just fine. The last two callers, they made a good point, and I just had to call in on these trucks and things, like the 18-wheelers and the commercial trucks that drive for furniture stores and all them. Why don't they have to go through emission? Because they throwing up a lot of pollution in the air. They do a lot of polluting. To my knowledge, I don't think that they have to go through, right?
I know they don't have to go through the same emissions process that passenger vehicles does, but I really don't have any idea what other standards or service guidelines or inspections that they may have to meet as a part of the things they have to comply with for, you know, just over the road operation. It would seem reasonable to me that sometime throughout the year they'd have to go through some inspections as well. I know used to be the Tennessee Public Service Commission regulated trucks and truck traffic, and now that's been absorbed into the Department of Safety, and the Highway Patrol has people that do that as well. But I don't know that they do any vehicle inspections for emissions. But, yeah, I mean, you'd have to think that at some point, you know, on a fairly regular basis, they had to be inspected and checked for emissions. But it's a good point. I simply don't know.
Good question. But just between you, Bart, and now on the phone, do you think it's Don't you think that's a rip-off the way they're doing us with the check engine lights and stuff? We had a problem like that not too long ago. And, you know, like you say, your car's not smoking or nothing, and you got everything checked, but the engine light is on, and, you know, you won't get through. Look like they could bend the law or something on that right there. Whoever brought it up, you said it's not around here, but, you know, it's out of state, I guess, where the law comes from. But what the taxpayers or the ones that's got these automobiles just get together and protest them or some kind of way. Who would you say would call to find out more about that? Because it's a big ripoff. I know you know I'm telling the truth because you had to go through it too.
I'm not sure who the appropriate agency would be. I would think that the state would be the regulatory body. And it seems reasonable to me that that would probably be environment and conservation or public health, maybe would be one of, because really what they're trying to do is regulate emissions that affect our air quality. And that's the only thing that I would say. If the car is not emitting hazardous materials or things that diminish the air quality, then that's one thing. Of course, the other side of that is just because it's not smoking and you can't see what it's exhausting doesn't mean that it's not putting out pollutants or contaminants that are harmful to the environment. In fact, some of the ones that may be the most harmful might be the ones you can't even see.
Yeah, I understand that too.
But I think environment and conservation or public health probably be the best place to look to register that concern and try to move that forward. And some of the legislative delegation would probably be of help with that, I would think, too.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, but like if you call them and just like look for a needle in a haystack, or they'll put you on hold and transfer you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Dealing with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all have a good day. I'll enjoy your program.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call.
You might also want to check with your state representative or state senators.
Right.
But I think you're right. It ultimately goes to the federal level, because I think if you don't do some of these things, they're going to pull the highway funding
money.
And that gets the attention of the state when that happens.
It does. And comment on that when we get a minute. But go ahead.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Bart.
Good. Good morning.
I just had a comment also about the tax and emissions. It seems like if Rutherford County was required to have it would also be other surrounding counties as far as, say, Smith or Sparta or Woodbury, because they all seem to transport or drive in Rutherford County. So what would make the difference there? I mean, if it's going to do it in one county, in order to be statewide mandated. That was my comment. Thank you.
I'm speaking from what I believe to be the case, and I'm not the authority at all here, but my belief is that the counties that are contiguous to urban areas, in our case, we're contiguous to Davidson County, the potential or the the creation of higher amounts of exhaust emissions and exhaust fumes because we're in one of those areas that's around a major metropolitan area is what requires us to be a part of the emissions testing process. That's my belief. Now, I may be wrong or I may have some piece of that off, but I think the further you get away from that major metropolitan area, the lesser the impact is for significant amounts of emissions that require the testing to be done. And your point makes good sense. Emission and air pollution is the same, I suppose, anywhere. But I think as you get away from those major urban centers, it lessens. And they try not to be any more intrusive on people that live and drive in those areas than they have to be, which is part of the conversation we're having, and rather focus it around the areas that seem to have the most concentration of pollution or emissions.
Our phone number is 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest this morning. We're going to pause for just a moment. If you're on the line, hold on, because you are coming up next.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
WeatherEye.
Mild with lots of sunshine for your day today. Highs will warm into the lower 80s. Winds become northeast around 5 miles an hour. And tonight's skies remain clear. Lows fall to near 53. I'm WGNS meteorologist Phil Jensko. It's currently 52.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
We got some good neighbors and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Nominate a police officer weekly or a teacher monthly. Put it in writing on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Let's go back to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. You're on the air with Glenn Crispin. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, the guy a while ago just said that he went to another county and got his tags.
He did say that.
I'm sorry?
He did say that.
Yes.
And that's against the law.
That is against the law, and he'll not only get in trouble, but the county clerk who issued him can be in trouble, too.
I did not know that.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I didn't realize that the party issuing it could get in trouble also. That's an interesting twist.
It is, and I that's not something that typically we deal with, but I know from time to time, in Rutherford County and surrounding counties, obviously that's an issue that gets raised that people have to deal with.
Now, we're seeing some work on the roadways around the area.
We are. In fact, we were talking yesterday, if you travel Old Fort Parkway, 231 South, some parts of Broad Street, there's a good deal of milling that's been going on. Everybody sees that big milling machine that strips off the top layer of the asphalt and kind of resurfaces that in preparation for a fresh layer of asphalt in those areas where it needs to be replaced. Pretty dusty out some of those stretches right now, but what they've done is they've removed that top layer, and it appears that they're in the process of reinstalling the traffic camera loops. And let me make sure I don't get these mixed up. There is the red lights that actually change for the flow of traffic. They're changed by computer so that when you pull up to a red light, you don't have to sit there for a predetermined period of time for the lights to change. There's a sensor in the road to change the light, hopefully try to keep traffic moving. That's separate altogether from the red light enforcement cameras. But anyway, they've milled the streets. They're in the process of reinstalling those loops to change the red lights, and hopefully that'll be done here in the next several weeks so they can get that asphalt back down. Trying to get that done before the plants close when cold weather gets here. So please slow down a little bit, drive safe, be a little more careful on those uneven roads, and hopefully we'll get those resurfaced soon.
And on that note, we will say thank you, Glenn Crispin.
Thanks, Bart. Pleasure to be with you. Hope everybody has a great fall.
Glenn Crispin visiting with us, the chief of the Murfreesboro Police Department. Unfortunately, we have folks on the line still and just didn't have enough time in the program to get everybody in. But when you're the chief of police, you're popular. What can we say? Glenn, have a super day. Stay with us. Much more to come on WGNS. G. Gordon Liddy comes up right after the news. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking lawns and gardens. And with the weather the way it is, man alive. This is the time of the year to do some outdoor activities. See you tomorrow.